Hello and welcome along to The Good Glow today. Thanks for tuning in. I almost pressed publish on this podcast during the week. That's how excited I am for you to hear it. And I believe that this 30 minutes is going to be life-changing for people's health. So I first heard of Dr. Mindy on Diary of a CEO, and after I listened to that podcast, I sent it to so many people. I was like, you have to listen to this. And then I couldn't believe that I got time with Dr. Mindy on The Good Glow. So she's a best-selling author, she's world famous, she spent more than two decades helping women across the world reclaim their health. And I love that phrase, reclaim your health, because it is never too late to take control of your health and become the healthiest version of you. So today we talk about the benefits of fasting for longevity and healing. She goes through our cycle and our month, and she talks about the power phase, the manifestation phase, the nurture phase, when we should be eating more carbs, when we should rest, when we need to increase vegetables, when we should be planning, manifesting, lifting weights, scheduling our meetings. This podcast is just next level. I'm so excited about it. Now, I will ask you one favor. If you enjoyed this podcast today, please put this into your girls' WhatsApp group, because I would love as many women as possible to hear this. Before we get into Dr. Mindy, I just wanted to thank Yoplait Skier for supporting The Good Glow this season. At Yoplait, quality is their passion, and their commitment to health and nutrition starts with the sourcing of ingredients. Three core values, pleasure, simplicity, and joy, help Yoplait deliver healthy, delicious, and nutritious pots of enjoyment to their customers. So let's talk about Skier. Well, what is it? It's a great nutritious yogurt. Skier is a creamy Icelandic recipe. Like Greek yogurt, it is packed full of protein, fat-free, and Yoplait Skier has only one ingredient, milk. I personally love their big pots, and Skier Natural 850 gram is available across Aldi stores nationwide. Dr. Mindy, oh my God, I can't believe you're joining me on The Good Glow today. How are you?
Amazing. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am so good. I am going to tell you a little story. So a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to your podcast on Diary of a CEO, and I listened to it over a day. So like in the gym, in the car. And I love podcasts. I listen all the time. So I rarely send the podcasts I listen to other people.
Yeah.
But this podcast I sent to so many people. I was like, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to this. And then I was looking through my diary a couple of days later, and there was your name in my diary. I was like,
manifestation.
Isn't that insane?
That's amazing.
Well, you are amazing. And
thank you.
I learned so much from that podcast. I felt so seen. I'm so intrigued by you and your message. And just tell me about it.
How did I get here?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So where did it start for me was actually really, I'm 53. And it started when I was in my early 40s. When I hit perimenopause, I was literally doing everything right. Like I was exercising, eating right, taking supplements, detoxing, acupuncture, chiropractic, massage. I mean, like there was nothing I could have changed that I thought at that time with my lifestyle. And I started waking up at night with massive hot flashes. I'd never had anxiety before. I started to have these waves of anxiety. I went into depression. Like it was literally like somebody had hijacked my brain, and I couldn't quite figure out what was going on with me. So I actually went to a good friend of mine who was a very well-respected OBGYN, and we were actually at our kids' science fair, and we were looking at this science project, and I turned to her. And I was like, hey, Heidi, I don't normally do this. I know it's like a night to celebrate our kids, but I'm really struggling with my hormones and I need help. And she turned to me and I explained what my symptoms were. She turned to me and she said, Mindy, I have a practice full of women with those symptoms and my medical textbooks have failed me. I do not know what to do. And then she knew that I was a natural doctor and was doing tons with detox and things. She's like, tell me what you're doing. And I like sat there and I thought, wait a second, you are an incredibly well-respected OBGYN and you have a practice full of women with these symptoms and you can't tell me what to do for them? And so I literally left the science fair that night and I went home and I just started searching and I started Googling and I just wanted to know because my brain was thinking, if she has a practice full of women like this, then it's got to be environmental. It's got to be something in our environment that's throwing every woman's hormones off. And that launched it. I mean, it was one night at the science fair, Googling hormones, what causes hormones to go out of balance. And here I am 10 years later, having really studied and mastered hormones. I applied it to my patients, applied it to my life. And then honestly, I started teaching it on YouTube and my YouTube channel just went viral. And I never looked back at that point. And I really started to look at what will move the needle on hormones the most for women. And that's really where I started with fasting, is really understanding how fasting can help with hormones. And then we just launched into every other lifestyle tool we could possibly find from there.
Whoa, that's inspiring. And also like an enormous mountain to climb from that conversation there. Like, where do you even begin? But saying that, I feel like I'm doing everything right, but I'm still not right. That sentence alone is going to help so many women feel seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's one of the things that you've said that just touches my heart. And I heard this so much from the Diary of the CEO interview, is that so many women felt seen. But this is really important what you said, because when we start to understand hormones, we understand ourselves. And when we understand ourselves, we actually stop turning on ourselves. Because what we do as women so much is, when we have a symptom that's not going away and we go to a doctor and the doctor tells us, here's a prescription for that symptom, what that doctor does not realize is you're saying in a different language, like, let's just shut the symptom up. Let's just take a medication and let's just shut the symptom up. But symptoms are how our body actually can talk to us. Mm-hmm. And so what happens in that is we feel defeated. We walk away from the doctor and we're like, oh, I guess I don't know why the symptom showed up. I guess I just take a medication for it and then hope that that helps. But in that interaction with the doctor, we feel unseen. So when you say you feel seen, that just blows my heart open. And that's what I want every woman to feel.
I think there is so much shame almost in our hormones being out of whack, or, you know, like, I think as women, like, we do blame ourselves a lot for a lot of stuff that isn't our fault. But say, for example, like, every month it takes me by complete surprise that I get my period, even though it comes every month. I'm like, oh, and, you know, we all say, now it makes sense. Oh God, maybe I was a bit harsh on my husband yesterday, yeah, because now it all makes sense. And then we kind of just label ourselves as mental and get on with our day.
Yes, it's such an important point. When I started to break it all down and look at what the personalities of these hormones are, estrogen and progesterone are both considered sex hormones, but they require different lifestyles. And estrogen comes in the front half of the month and progesterone comes in the back half of the month. So literally, if we were just to simplify this all, is like, we are total like badasses from day one to like day 18. We can do whatever we want. But once day 18, day 19 of our cycle starts, now we have to nurture ourselves. Now we need more rest and recovery, because progesterone absolutely demands that our cortisol spikes stay down. Now, the other interesting thing on this is that glucose has to be higher in order for us to make progesterone. So this part I noticed when I started watching all these women fast and they were losing their cycles. They weren't stepping out of fasting the week before their period. But the same thing, I mean, the fascinating thing when Fast Like a Girl came out is how many 20 and 30 year olds do not have a cycle. And I really believe it's because cortisol's high. And for many of them, they're trying to diet their way and restrict glucose and keep calories down. And it's that week before our period that we have to do something different. And we all know this. We all crave carbs. We're all irritable. We don't want to go out and socialize. We don't want to work out. You know, we intuitively know this, but nobody's just brought it to this level of explaining why this is.
So like when it comes to fast like a girl, right? So say you walked into a bookshop and like, am I looking at that like this is a diet book? Like tell me about the book. Like what is the secret of the book? Like what's the club we're getting into by buying this?
You know, it's so funny. I tried to figure it out myself because it's the book has been doing so well. So I would say the first thing is that women are feeling heard. If we just take, oh, that's why I crave carbs the week before my period because glucose needs to be higher. It's not because I'm undisciplined. That is freeing women right there.
Yeah.
Because we're going to eat the carbs anyways, and then we're going to shame ourselves for eating it. So why don't you eat the right carb, support progesterone, and then when you start bleeding again, now we can go back into a lower carb life. And so I taught that in the book. The other thing is that it's funny you say about diet. I have for years been saying fasting's not a diet. Fasting's not a diet. And people have been interviewing me for years saying, why is this fad still around? And I said, it's not a fad. Fasting's not a fad. It's actually a metabolic state that your body thrives in. And we have just pushed it aside and we haven't used it. So we haven't pulled this tool out yet. And so once you pull that tool out, all of a sudden you start to see that your body thrives in a fasted state. And there's a way to go about that, especially for a woman's body. So I think it's the combination of understanding ourselves and this tool that I have offered in Fast Like a Girl. It is working.
Is it literally a case of the week before our period, like sticking the feet up, eating some, like what does that week look like?
Yeah, let's do this. Can we go around the cycle so that you can sort of see the juxtaposition that progesterone plays?
Yeah.
And I'll kind of talk about some of the personalities because I think people will start to understand themselves when we put it through the lens of the cycle. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I learned in teaching the world hormones is that day one, not everybody knows what day one of their cycle is. A lot of women don't know. And it was cute. I don't know if you caught in the Stevens interview. He was like, I'm sorry, what day is what? I'm like, it's okay. You don't need to know. We barely know.
It was like listening to my little brother.
He's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what day one is. So day one is the day that you start to bleed. Mm-hmm. And all your hormones are going to be their lowest. So this is why, like when our periods come, we're like, oh, phew, it's here. Thank God. Like we have, like you said, like all of a sudden you look back and you're like, oh, that's why I was so irritable. Oh my God. So you kind of have a backward reflection once that cycle comes. For the day one through day 10, for the first 10 days of your cycle, you are building estrogen. And estrogen doesn't mind if cortisol goes high. So if you have like a lot to do at work, if you want to like skimp on sleep a little bit, if you want to push your workouts, you're going to be fine day one to day 10 because estrogen can still build in that time period. The other characteristic of estrogen is she needs glucose and insulin to be low. So if you're eating tons of carbohydrates, your diet is horrible, it's going to throw estrogen off. A great example of this is PCOS. And you can start to clean that system up and heal your PCOS symptoms just by taking those first 10 days and getting lower carb, fasting a little longer. I'm not saying you have to deprive yourself, but you could do meat and vegetables. And nature's carbs even are better than the refined carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Go for a little longer walk and clean up that insulin system and estrogen will build.
Okay.
Now, the other thing about estrogen, this is something new that I haven't really shared on a lot of podcasts yet because I'm writing it in my next book, is that estrogen, what she did is she also stimulated serotonin, dopamine, acetylcholine, and oxytocin. Mm-hmm. So let's think about that for a moment. That's happiness is serotonin, dopamine is motivation, acetylcholine is cognition, and oxytocin is bonding. Okay, so it's a part of estrogen called estradiol will go into those receptor sites and stimulate all those other neurochemicals. Well, why would that be? It's because you need to be happy, motivated, and connected to humans in order to feel like reproducing when you hit ovulation.
Yeah.
So like, this is how brilliant we are designed. Mm-hmm. So you have this huge neurochemical influx that makes you feel really good. Now, a lot of women will say, well, I don't feel good the first couple of days of my period. That's because you didn't mind progesterone. When we get to her, if you take care of her, you'll start bleeding and you'll feel good starting day one. So that's the first 10 days. We want to cater to estrogen. You ovulate about somewhere between day 11 and day 15, most women are going to ovulate. And at that point, this blows my mind. You've got the highest level of estrogen than you're ever going to have. So like yesterday, I was speaking at Amazon headquarters here in London, and they have a whole menopausal group that they're trying to help the corporate world understand the menopausal brain. And I was sharing with them, you know, what a corporation should do is they should put all the ovulating women in one room and create new projects, solve any challenges they have, because we are hormonally masterful at that time.
Whoa.
We've got estrogen so high. We're happy. We're focused. We're connecting. But we also have testosterone. And testosterone, we get a small little blip of testosterone from about day 11 to day 15. And testosterone doesn't just help libido, it helps motivation and drive. So we've got motivation and drive, we're connected, and then a little bit of progesterone we get during that time, we're wickedly powerful during ovulation. In the book, I call it the manifestation phase. Because I was like, we can manifest a lot more than just a baby during this time. We could manifest a new job. We could start a creation project. Like, you know, it'd even be interesting, like, to do all your podcasting, like book them as many, like back to back to back during that ovulation window and see, go back and listen and see if the way you ask questions, the way you interact with the guests is different because you're locked and loaded with all of those hormones during that time.
Oh, I love this.
Right? Like, this is why I'm like, why aren't we talking about this in the world?
Yeah, why do we ignore hormones when it can bring all of this to our life?
That's right. So the other thing is that's crazy is that when we have testosterone at her peak, our libido's up. Okay, let's just look. And this is like the differences between men and women. And, you know, I know we have a lot of same-sex couples and non-binary world. And I'm very appreciative and sensitive to that. And if we look at the difference between libido just in a man and a woman's body, men get testosterone every 15 minutes. They get a surge of testosterone coming in. So every day they're getting testosterone. But we only get testosterone in this small little ovulatory window. And then testosterone's gone. So, you know, if you're in a heterosexual relationship and you're a man listening to this, like, that's the time you want to love on your woman because she's got more testosterone during that time.
Okay. But does testosterone give us like the male like energy or is that completely?
Oh yeah. The drive and motivation. Yeah. So this was like my thing that I was trying to express on Stephen's podcast was that we need a feminist rebrand because the feminist movement was like, I can do anything a man can do. And I appreciate that. I think there's something incredibly powerful about what women are doing in the world right now, but it's at the expense of our health. Mm. So if we look at something like the manifestation phase, if you want to pull some old niners at work, do it then. I mean, we've got day one all the way through day 15, we are hormonally locked and loaded to kick ass, but we're the most powerful in that last 5 days because of our hormones. But then when we move into the back half, now everything shifts and that's where the rest and recovery comes in. So, but before I leave ovulation, I just want to point out that when you have all these hormones during that time, Yeah, fasting's okay. I usually say you can go about 15 hours. You don't want to go into really long fast because you do still have a little bit of progesterone. I like women to bring up carbs a little bit during that time because the purpose, your food purpose during ovulation should be, I need to break these hormones down so they're usable. And you can do that by eating a lot of nature's carbs. So this is a lot of fibery, leafy green vegetables, a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, cruciferous fruits, bitter foods, super supportive of the liver. We should be like doubling down on our vegetables during ovulation so we can break all that food, those hormones down so that they can get into the cell and they can be used.
Okay.
The other thing that I just figured out in the last couple of years is with all that testosterone, we should be lifting weights during that time because it'll help us build muscle. So we can like heavy weights as much as we can because we have testosterone there to support a harder workout. So I actually just did a fun collaboration project with a man named Tony Horton. He did, did you ever hear of P90X?
No.
Oh, it was like this huge in the US. It was like a huge online fitness program. So I connected with him last year and I asked him, I'm like, have you ever built an exercise program to a woman's cycle? And he's like, no, tell me more. So we created one. It's called PowerSync 60. You can find it online. And it has in it a woman's calendar that goes to her cycle. And during ovulation, you're lifting heavy, heavy stuff.
This is life changing.
And we just have to talk about it. Like, you know, and that was the thing about Stephen's podcast that got me so excited is how many women woke up and they're like, wait a second, how did I live? And this is how I felt. Like, how did I live in a female body all these years and nobody taught me this?
Like, we're learning about geography and history for years. We learn Irish in schools here, hours and hours and hours. And obviously it's important to our heritage and our culture. But Jesus, like, let's learn about hormones, guys.
Yeah. And if we understood ourselves, we would know how to take better care of ourselves. But we also would be able, like, let's go back to your example. I don't know if you went back to your husband and was like, hey, I'm so sorry, I was so irritable. You know, like it was a week before my period.
I find that hard.
You find that one? Okay. Well, you might need some therapy for that one. I'm not a therapist.
But I do kind of like sheepishly admit them. Yeah.
But here's something interesting. Why is it hard?
Yeah. Why? It's the shame.
It's the shame. It's because the culture is not talking about it.
Yeah.
We aren't allowed to talk. We haven't been allowed to talk about our periods. We're not talking about perimenopause and menopause. I call it the cultural hush. We have we don't talk about that. It's like the woman who goes in, you know, in her perimenopause years into her doctor, says, I'm depressed. And he gives her an antidepressant because we don't talk about why she might be depressed. Mm-hmm. So in your scenario, what I would say is in my household, we talk hormones all the time. And my 23-year-old daughter is living in our home, and even she'll say, you know, it's the week before my period, and I'm like, okay, I'm out. I know I'm going to get the arrows now. But it would help people understand each other, because, you know, hopefully your husband is like understanding and gets, oh, you know, the week before your period, that can happen. But if he understood that what was happening is that progesterone was making you go more inner and more introverted. In the book, I call it nurture. We need to turn within and nurture. And so every time we're pulled out of that innerness that we feel, we get irritable because we're going out of alignment. You're irritable last week because you were out of alignment, perhaps with progesterone. So she's saying to you, sit down, rest, take care of yourself. And every moment of the day you're not doing that, you're going to be agitated and irritable.
Yeah. It's like an interference.
it's an interference.
A big thanks to Yoplait Skier for supporting the Good Glow this season. A lot of you will know I'm most happy in the kitchen and I love quality ingredients when it comes to my food. So how did I use Skier this week? Well, we know it's packed full of protein and I am constantly looking for new ways to get more protein into my diet. So now I put Skier into my smoothies, especially on those days leading up to a long run because I need all the protein I can get. This week, I created a frozen berry Skier smoothie, and it was such a big hit in our house with Jamie and Pia. It's absolutely delicious. You can head over to goodglow.ie for this week's recipe. I've also left a link in the show notes. And don't forget, you can pick up an 850 gram tub of Skier Natural in Aldi. So tell me then, because what I've learned so much, but something that's sticking out to me on this podcast is that fasting is not a diet.
Oh, yes.
That is a gift to know that, because I think especially in Ireland, you know, it's real black and white in Ireland, I feel like, at the moment. And it's probably a worldwide thing, right? We see it in America. Everything is like either this or that.
Yeah.
So tell me about fasting and like what it can bring to your life.
So here's the best way to think about fasting so you can move it out of the diet category, is that we have two energy systems. One that gets turned on when we eat food, and we call it the sugar burner energy system. And then we have another system that gets turned on when we don't eat food and our blood sugar starts to go down. And when our blood sugar goes down, after about 8 hours, our body will start to switch over into this other energy system, and it's called the fat burning energy system. And what your intelligent body does is it goes, hey, 8 hours have gone by. There's no glucose going up. I think I better use the other fuel source that I have inside of me. I better go and start to burn fat. And by burning fat, what it does is it makes a protein called a ketone.
Mm-hmm.
And ketones will go up into the brain and they will turn off hunger. And they start supercharging your brain. They supercharge your energy. They start repairing neurons in the brain. But the only way you can really get to a ketone is you got to let that blood sugar come down so that you switch over, you metabolically switch over into the fat burning energy system where you burn fat and make a ketone. So you are putting yourself in a healing state. It is not a diet. You have just signaled to your body, hey, guess what? You stored some sugar and some fat a little while back. I'm going to need you to go burn that now because I'm not adding any glucose or sugar into the system. So I already know you stored some. So just go ahead and burn that. And that's going to be our fuel source. And so the longer you stay in there, usually it takes about 12 hours and the ketones start coming. But what I mapped out in the book is science is showing us 6 different lengths of fasts have different healing effects. Because in this fat burner system, you flip on a healing power like you can't even buy that kind of healing power. And an interesting one on breast cancer, one of the best studies ever done on fasting was done on women who were recovering from breast cancer. And what they found is as little as a 13-hour fast, if women, after they went through traditional treatment, so chemo, radiation, after they went through their traditional treatment, if they put in 13 hours of fasting every day, they didn't even cycle it, that what they noticed is they had a 64% less reoccurrence of cancer than women who didn't implement a 13-hour fast.
It's wonderful because our bodies do want to heal and our bodies want to keep us well. It's about understanding our body and how to use it in the best way.
Yeah.
So what's the ideal fast length, or is there one?
Well, this is where you ask yourself, what are you trying to accomplish? Hmm. So if you're trying to just accomplish, I don't want the cancer to come back, mm-hmm. and you're just adding it into your toolbox, 13 hours every single day is totally great. 13 to 15, if you want to go to 15, it's just accept the week before your period So if you have a 28-day cycle, it would be like day 21 that you would actually stop. You wouldn't fast.
So you still get the benefits if you don't do it every single day.
Yeah, you'll still get the benefits. And you're minding progesterone, because remember, she's the outlier. She plays by different rules. So we have to cater to her that week before. Maybe I'm the progesterone spokesperson. She's a little shy.
You need to write like a play or a sitcom to like have characters so that the whole world can understand.
Wouldn't that be amazing? So in the book, I came up with three names for our menstrual cycle and how to map food and fasting around it. When estrogen's building, I call it the power phase, because you can power up on anything. You want to power up on workouts, your diets, whatever, power up on everything. Ovulation, I gave it manifestation phase, because you can manifest anything you want. And then the week before our periods, I call it the nurture phase. I was originally going to call it the chill out phase, but then I was like, no, what women need to know is it's time to nurture ourselves during that time.
Yeah. And that could be like leaning more towards joy or connecting with people that we love a little bit more.
Oh yeah. If you love being on the couch with a bunch of friends watching a TV show and you're laughing and like you, it just brings you so much joy. That's what you should be doing the week before your period.
Wow. So, and I love the names because it just makes it so much more relatable.
Yeah.
Is there any culture that do fasting?
Oh, tons. You know where I got the beginning of understanding fasting for me came from the Muslim culture, or from the Muslim religion, Ramadan.
Yes.
So because it's 30 days of what they call, you know, it's like a dry fast. It's like sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
But there's so many interesting studies showing what happens to the body as it goes through that month of Ramadan. And a large portion of the studies that I put in the book came from watching people in the Ramadan experience.
We had this slogan in Ireland during COVID. I don't know if you guys had it in the States, but it was like, we're all in this together.
Oh, yeah.
And now everything we do has to be, we all have the same opinion on everything.
That's really well said. We don't all have to be in this together. And in fact, you know, what I'm teaching in Fast Like a Girl is no, we're not all in this together. In fact, we need to isolate the women out. And then the challenge for women is that, A, if we all have a different menstrual cycle, we're all going to have different needs at different times of the month. So it really becomes important that we do what I call the N of one. You have to be your own study so that you can find your own path. But oh my gosh, how many times have we watched a friend do a workout or do something and she looks great and we're like, oh my God, I'm going to do that. And then you do it, you don't get the same result. And then you start to shame yourself and think there's something wrong with yourself.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You and your friend, even though you have the same hormones, they're coming in at different times. So you've got to find a different rhythm with every aspect of your lifestyle than your friend does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you are incredible. And thank you for like making it your mission to help women in this way and help us feel seen, because it's such important work. And I hope you get a minute to just congratulate yourself from time to time.
Thank you. I took some time this summer and just took a little downtime. So thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for your kind words. I really hope conversations like this, I hope the book, that women start to talk more. We have to communicate more with each other about what we're going on mentally, what's going on physically with us. Like, I look at Fast Like a Girl as I opened a cultural conversation. Mm-hmm. And we now can all step into it. I don't think of it as my book. I think of it as our book.
Yes.
It's for every woman out there. And one of the things that warms my heart is when a mom tells me she shared it with her daughter. And then they're working the principles together. We have to start talking the language of hormones, and we have to start bringing hormones into everything from the healthcare to the workplace to our home life. It has to come back into, or for the first time, into our conversations in all these environments. Like, women are getting sicker and sicker until we bring this conversation to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you and just thank you for being so curious and for having me. And yeah, someday we'll do lunch together. But I also just want women to take this information and run with it and talk about it and study it. And let's all learn together because it's time.
Absolutely. And you have a menopause book as well, right?
Yeah. So I have The Menopause Reset is a book I wrote when I had that moment of trying to figure out my own perimenopausal journey. So there were five lifestyle changes that I really identified needed to happen. And now the book I'm writing is about the brain changes that happen to women over 40.
Helping
women understand why they're depressed and why they can't think. Because I think the biggest takeaway is your symptom, whatever it is, probably has a hormonal solution.
Wow. What a service to the women of the world. And thank you for your service and for everything. Thanks to Tom, too.
Yeah, right. Thanks to Tom. I'll thank Tom for you.
Oh, thank you so much to Dr. Mindy. And our little private joke at the end. So Tom came on at the start of the podcast and Tom with all his testosterone and sorted out a little technical problem for us. So if you enjoyed that podcast, please stick it into your girls' WhatsApp group today. I would love it to reach as many people as possible. And I have included, I know Dr. Mindy mentioned breast cancer, and I've included that study in the show notes so that you can read it yourself and make up your own mind. As always, thanks to Yoplait Skier for supporting the Good Glow, and why not join our mailing list, because I am sending all the notes from each week to you on a Monday, so you can see that link in the episode show notes. Talk to you next week.